Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, please, is where we want to take our scripture reading from this evening, beginning at verse 29, speaking about the Saviour and some of the disciples. It says, verse 29, "And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever, and anon," or immediately, "they tell him of her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. And at even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them that were possessed with devils, and all the city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straitly charged him, and forthwith sent him away. And saith unto him, See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. They came to him from every quarter." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of that portion there of the Word of God to all of our hearts tonight for his name's sake. It's the latter verses of this chapter I want us to dwell upon for a little time this evening, beginning there at verse 40, where it records this leper that came to the Saviour. Verse 40, "There came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean." We're going to take in the rest of the verses as well towards the end, but that particular thought there of the Saviour saying to this man, I will, be thou clean. But let's take a moment and ask the Lord for his help tonight as his word. Our Father, we thank thee for the gospel and the power to cleanse from sin. We pray that tonight as we come and consider thy word in this place, that thou will bless thy truth to us. May we indeed rejoice. We pray for that experience in our own hearts, that we are indeed those cleansed from sin and washed. We thank thee for a Saviour tonight who is able and willing and at hand and is ready to save, ready to cleanse. We praise thee, Lord, that all has been done. There is a work that has been finished and completed as we have been singing. And tonight we pray that thou will bless our meditation upon the Word of God. Grant us help, Lord. We know that closing of ourselves in with thee now, we ask in Jesus. Amen. The healing of this leprous man is recorded in the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And each one of those Gospel writers record this miracle for a different purpose. The miracles and the works of the Saviour are not in chronological order in the Gospels. Sometimes they're selected and put into a particular place by that particular writer for a purpose. There's a reason behind all the Gospels, and that is very true when we come to notice whereabouts those Gospel writers place this particular miracle of the healing of this leper. For example, Matthew records the miracle immediately after the Sermon on the Mount. There are five miracles that are recorded in Matthew chapter 8, and this miracle of the healing of the leper is one of those five that are there recorded. And as I say, it comes exactly after the Sermon on the Mount, because during the Sermon on the Mount, the people there were realizing that this individual, the Lord Jesus, was one who taught the people as having authority and not as the scribes. They realized there was something special about what he taught. And then immediately, Matthew takes us into that record of those five miracles that are recorded in chapter 8 to demonstrate that the Lord Jesus is not only mighty in what he has to say, but he's also mighty in what he has to do in his power to deliver afflicted souls. And therefore it falls into that particular place that it comes after the Sermon on the Mount. And the purpose then in Matthew's account there is that it emphasizes the truth that the Lord is able to heal. Not only was he mighty in what he taught, but he was also mighty in what he did, in the deeds, in the miracles that he did. And Matthew is emphasizing that this individual is able to heal. And that's why he puts the miracle there after the Sermon on the Mount. Mark, here in this particular place where we have read tonight, puts it at the opening of his gospel. And here he's portraying Christ as the busy servant who is going about doing good. We mentioned that word anon. That is there in verse 30, and there's a number of other places following on there where you have the word immediately appears, and those are phrases, little phrases that appear quite often in Mark's gospel because they're emphasizing the Savior as the busy servant who has come to do his Father's will. He's come to work out something on earth, and he's busy about the work that he has been given to do. And there in verses 25 and 26, if you go back a little just before where we started reading, you read about the Savior casting out the unclean spirit. And then verses 30 and 31, you read about him healing Peter's mother-in-law. And then those next verses, there's accounts there given of people in general who have come. Verse 32, for example, that even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased and them that were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door. Healed many that were sick with divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. So the thought here is of the Savior who is busy. And while Matthew, on his account, is emphasizing the Savior who is able to heal, Mark here emphasizes the fact he's willing to heal. He's willing to heal. He's busy healing. And as people come in all of their need, the Savior is one who's willing to heal. He's not reluctant. He's not closing the door. He's not trying to get away from the crowd. As they bring people to him where he is in this particular house, he's willing to heal. He's desirous to heal. And then when you go over to Luke, you find this account of this healing of the leprous man in chapter 5. And there in verse 12. And there, it's in the context of a great multitude coming again to hear the Savior and to be healed of their infirmities. But in Luke chapter 5, verse 17, there's a very interesting statement. And I would even ask you if you'd turn over to look at that statement, because you don't find it in any of the other Gospels. Luke's Gospel chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, "It came to pass on a certain day as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present to heal them." The power of the Lord was present to heal. The Lord was there with one purpose, and that was to heal. So Matthew emphasizes he's able to heal. Mark emphasizes he's willing to heal. Luke emphasizes the fact he's at hand to heal. He's present to heal. He's there now at that particular time. The power of the Lord was then present. And that comes just after the healing of that leprous man there in Luke chapter 5. So there's a different purpose in each one of those gospel writers recording this particular miracle. But one common thread that runs through them all is that it was a very needful encounter that this leprous man had with the Savior. And that's the way I want to think about it tonight. A needful encounter with Jesus Christ. This man certainly needed to meet with Christ and needed to know the power of Jesus Christ in his life. And what we have here in this account does set forth a number of important gospel truths. And I trust the Lord will bless them to us as we consider them. The first thing I want you to consider here from Mark's account where we have been reading is the compassion that Christ has for the vilest. This man is a leper. It tells us there in verse 40 of Mark chapter 1, he's a leper. Luke goes a little bit further and tells us in Luke 5 verse 12 that he was a man full of leprosy. So it wasn't just a matter that he had a little spot or two of leprosy on his skin somewhere that he could conceal and hide and nobody would ever know it and he'd be able to go on about his life and go on about whatever his business was. This man is full of leprosy. He's covered with leprosy. It's evident to anyone who looks at this man. He is afflicted by this disease of leprosy. It's all over his body. He's full of leprosy. Now, leprosy was a loathsome disease. In fact, it was the most fearful and frightening physical disease that anyone could have and anyone could be afflicted with. In a real sense, the person who was afflicted with leprosy was looked upon as somebody who was dead while they lived. You see, it was loathsome in their own body. It was a wasting, corrupting disease. The language of Psalm 38, verses 5 to 7, is borrowed from leprosy. Psalm 38 verse 5, my wounds stink and are corrupt because of my foolishness. I am troubled, I am bowed down greatly, I go mourning all the day long, for my loins are filled with a loathsome disease, and there is no soundness in my flesh. Psalm 38 verses 5, 6 and 7. That description is said to be taken from leprosy. And the psalmist there is applying it to his own spiritual state. But it gives us a little insight into the physical effect of leprosy upon an individual's body. It made their body loathsome, is the term that is even found there in those verses. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. There is no soundness in my flesh. And because they were filled with leprosy and afflicted with this disease, the person who had this disease of leprosy was an outcast in society. Listen to the words of Leviticus 13, verse 45 and 46. It says, the leper in whom the plague is, his clothes shall be rent and his head bare, and he shall put a covering upon his upper lip and shall cry, unclean, unclean. All the days wherein the plague shall be in him, he shall be defiled. He is unclean. He shall dwell alone. Without the camp shall his habitation be. So the person who was afflicted with leprosy had to cry out unclean because they are defiled by this disease and they dwell outside the camp. It says they're to dwell alone. They're not to be within the precincts of the camp. They're not to be near anyone else. They certainly are never to draw near anywhere onto the tabernacle. And in that you have a perfect description of our sinful state before God by nature. Because sin is a vile thing. It's the vilest of all things. And whatever can be said of leprosy as a physical disease and a physical affliction, it can be said far more of sin. Sin is the vilest thing that ever afflicts the human body or the human mind, the human life. You have that description of a sinful state in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, that is very similar to what we have just read there in Psalm 38 about that which is taken from leprosy. But in Isaiah chapter 1, and verse 5, it says, the whole head is sick, the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises, putrefying sores that have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. As the Lord looked down upon Israel at that particular time, as Isaiah started his ministry, that's how he looked upon them in their spiritual state. He says, you're spiritually sick. You're spiritually full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores that have not been bound up. They're corrupting, they're oozing. They're just a mass of stinking corruption. And that's their spiritual state. So when we think about the leper and the description of it, it's a vivid picture of how the sinner stands before God. And when we come to Mark 1 here and this leper that came to meet with the Saviour, we read that the Saviour had compassion on this man in all his vileness. He's full of leprosy, remember. He's not just somebody who's afflicted with a little spot here or there. This man is full of leprosy. All over him there is this mass of corruption. But the Lord has compassion upon him. It's remarkable that this man came so close to any individual, never mind the Lord Jesus. Because as we've said, he's supposed to be an outcast. He's supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean, I'm defiled. He's supposed to live away from those who do not have leprosy, and yet on this occasion we find him coming to the Saviour. And the Saviour is moved with compassion towards him. The Saviour is not annoyed that a leper has come so close to him. Rather, he's moved with compassion towards this individual. And that word there, that phrase, moved with compassion, that we read of in verse 41 of Mark 1, has the idea of stirring the innermost motions. The innermost motions are being stirred and quickened as the Lord looks upon this man. He's not reviled by him. He's not somebody who wants to turn away and not look upon this man. It's the very opposite. The Lord is moved with affectious feeling, passion for this man in all his. Now, it would seem that this man doubted what reaction he would receive from the Saviour, because there in verse 40, he asks this question, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. If thou wilt." But he should have had no doubts as to the reaction of the Saviour. The Saviour is full of compassion. He has tender mercies, even for the vilest, even for the sinner, if we think upon it in that particular light. Not just that he's compassion upon the leper, the physical leper, but he's also got compassion upon the spiritual leper, the sinner who's afflicted with a loathsome disease that makes him a mass of corruption as well. The Lord has compassion towards that individual too. He's full of tender compassion, tender mercies towards it. And there's nothing in God's sight as vile as a sinner. It wouldn't matter what physical corruption someone has, physical disease or affliction that they might have. The affliction of sin is far greater. And yet Christ is the one who has compassion, the vilest and the sinner. The second thing I want you to notice here is the capacity that Christ has to remove the impossible. You see, leprosy was a disease among the Jews and among their physicians that was looked upon as being incurable. If God didn't cure an individual of leprosy and it run its course and it left the body and left the person at least in some state of life, there was no other known cure. It was looked upon by the Jews and by their physicians as being incurable by man. Do you remember the cry that the king of Israel made when Naaman, who was afflicted with leprosy, arrived at his door? And there was a misunderstanding by the king of Syria, because the little maid had told her mistress about the individual that was in Samaria who could help the master, who could help Naaman. But they misunderstood. Instead of sending Naaman to Elisha, the prophet of the Lord, they sent him to the king of Israel. And when Naaman arrived at the palace in Samaria and told the king there, and it was announced that Naaman, this great captain of the king of Syria, was there, and this is the purpose, he's here to be cleansed of his leprosy. Well, this is what the king of Israel said, 2 Kings 5, verse 7. It came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore, consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against." And that gives us an insight into how leprosy was viewed among the Jews. It was viewed as being incurable. And when Naaman arrives at the king of Israel's door and announces he's there to be cured of his leprosy, this man says, "Am I God to do this thing?" And he acknowledges God has the power to kill and to make alive. He says, that's the power that is needed to heal somebody of their leprosy. Am I God to do this? That this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy. And that underscores the point. You see, there was no human cure for leprosy. It either ran its course and took the person down to death, or it ran its course and somehow left that person in some form of life. But there was no human cure for leprosy. But then, does that not make leprosy a picture of sin? Because there's no human cure for sin either. There's no human cure for sin. Salvation and deliverance from sin must come from a higher source. It cannot come from man. It cannot come from this world. It has to come from another source. It has to come from a higher source. And if this leprous man here is ever going to be cured, he's full of leprosy. If he's ever going to be cured, it's going to be someone else other than any earthly physician. And he hears about Jesus Christ. News comes to him of this individual who is going about doing good, healing the sick, making the lame to walk, casting out devils. Can he cure the leprous? This man believes he can. This man believes he can. Do you notice the words that he uttered? "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." When he comes to the Saviour and he utters these words, he's not doubting the Saviour's ability. He is wondering, is he willing to cleanse me? "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." This man is coming believing that he is able to be cleansed and delivered from his leprosy by this individual. He believes that this man, Jesus of Nazareth, is able to. Because you notice there in verse 40 that he comes beseeching him. He comes kneeling down to him. Luke tells us that he fell on his face before the Saviour. Matthew tells us that he came worshipping. In Matthew, he came worshipping. You see, he came acknowledging this man to be the Son of God. You would not worship any other man. The Jews would not do. No Jew would fall down and worship any other man. But this leper comes worshipping. He comes beseeching. He comes falling down upon his face. Matthew uses the word. He comes worshipping. The leper comes believing that Christ is able. And the reason why Christ is able to deliver him is because he believes him. The doubt that is in his mind is, will he have any interest in me? Will he have any interest in this poor leper? This man full of leprosy? Will he have any interest in me? Will he be willing to do this for me? That's his doubt. It's not whether the Lord is able or not. Oh, the Lord is able. You see, Jesus Christ is able to do that which is impossible with men. And as there was no human cure known for leprosy, there is no cure known for sin among men either. It has to come from a higher power. The power to cleanse the leper was to be the power of God. The power to cleanse the sinner and to wash the sinner and make the sinner clean comes from God as well. It's going to be the same power. This man ought not to have doubted the welcome received. He ought not to have doubted the willingness of Christ to heal him. And the sinner ought not to doubt the willingness. He's the one, as we have noticed, who will have compassion and show tender mercy towards the vilest. And therefore, if that is true, and it is, then the sinner need not doubt the welcome they will receive when they come to Christ. When they do what this man did, when they come believingly, when they come and fall down before the Lord, and when they cry out to him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord is able and willing, and the sinner ought never to doubt it. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise pass out. I will no wise cast out. John 6:37. Him that cometh, I will in no wise cast out. The sinner can take that promise to heart. The Lord will not cast out the seeking. That individual who seeks him, that individual who comes like this leper and beseeches him and falls down before him and worships him and calls upon him to cleanse them, they ought not to doubt the welcome they will. For the Lord has said he'll not cast out any who come to him. He's not going to cast out the leper. He'll not cast out the sin. Christ puts forth his hand and touches this man. Remember, he's a man full of leprosy. But it tells you there in verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and said unto him, I will, be thou clean. There was no hesitation on the Lord's part. He didn't question this man, as he sometimes did with the scribes and the Pharisees who came to him, because the Lord knew they came with ulterior motives. The scribes and the Pharisees weren't sincere in their coming. They were there to trip, at least to attempt to trip the Savior up and what he had to say. But this man is genuine. This man has got a need, and the Lord instantly knows that. And therefore, there's no entering into any dialogue at all as to why this man has come or the motives that has brought him. The Lord immediately puts forth his hand and touches him, and immediately the leprosy leaves. That's the power that is in the touch of the Master. And that's the touch that the sinner needs as well. The same touch that reached this poor leprous man and healed him is the touch that the sinner needs. The power, you see, resides in a person. The power of the gospel resides in a person. The power of the gospel is not in a creed. It's not in church ordinances. It's not in ecclesiastical ceremonies. These things do not save the soul and cleanse the soul and make it clean before God. The power of the gospel is in a person. And what is needed is the touch of that person upon us. The saving touch. And the sinner needs exactly what this leper experienced. The Lord touches him. He reaches forth and he touches him and he bids him to. And it tells us that immediately this happened in verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. He did not have to wait upon deliverance. He was immediately cleansed from his leprosy. And the sinner can be saved this very moment. Salvation is not something to be waited on. It's not something that's held out as a future hope. That will be ours at some future time. Salvation can be our possession now. Just in exactly the same way as that man who was delivered from his leprosy was healed immediately. So the sinner, if they know the touch of Christ upon them, the saving touch, can have salvation in such is the power that there is in the gospel. Such is the capacity of Christ to deal with what is incurable to anyone else. And the sinner needs that touch that will heal them from their sin and save their... There's one final thing I want you to notice here, and that is the concern that Christ has for the perishing. Because connected with this healing of this leprous man, there's a very interesting few verses there that follow on. Because in verse 43, we read that the Saviour straightly charged this man and forthwith sent him away. He straightly charged. Now, those words are very strong. This was not just a little bit of counsel or a little bit of advice that was given in passing. This was something very deliberate, something that was done very specifically. The Lord Jesus straightly charges this man. He tells him something. He commands him something. And then he sends him away. And he does two things. He tells him here he is to do two things. First of all, he's to go and show himself to the priest and offer the sacrifice that Moses commanded. Because that's what they were to do when cleansed. When leprosy had worked itself out of the body and the priest declared someone to be free of leprosy, that the disease was no longer spreading through somebody's body, then the priest was to pronounce them clean. They were to offer a sacrifice, and then they could integrate themselves back in among society. So the Saviour tells this man, you are to go and do this. This is what you have to do. You have to go to the priest, and he will pronounce you clean. You are to offer the sacrifice, and then you can be integrated in again among the people of society. But it's the other command that I want us to think about. Because it tells you here that the Lord Jesus said to him, see, verse 44, see thou say nothing to any man. Say thou see nothing to any man. Now that might seem strange. Was it not a good thing that the Saviour's fame would be spread abroad? Was it not a good thing that this man would start telling, I have been healed of leprosy and the person who has healed me is Jesus of Nazareth. I believe him to be the Son of God. I worship at his feet and he has healed me entirely from leprosy and I have been declared to be clean. Is it not a good thing that this man was doing that? Well, whether it was a good thing or not, the man didn't obey it. Because in verse 45, it says that he went out and he began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter. So he did the very opposite. The Lord Jesus told him he wasn't to say a word to any man. This man goes out and he tells everybody that he comes into contact with. He makes it known. It's blazed abroad. It's publicized that this man has been healed of his leprosy. His deliverance made him so glad. You can understand why he would be doing this. There's so much thanksgiving in his heart and soul that he can't restrain himself. And wherever he goes, he wants to make it known. He has been healed of his leprosy, but he also wants to make it known as to who has done the healing. That it has been Jesus of Nazareth. But the point still stands. He did not obey the Saviour. He did not do what the Lord Jesus told him there in verse 44. See thou say nothing, amen. The Saviour had a purpose in that command, to refrain from making it known. And the purpose is given to us in the remaining words of verse 45. You see, this man's enthusiasm to tell of what had happened to him actually hindered the Saviour in his work. Look at verse 45 and read it on through. But he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every corner. He could no more enter into the city. But that was exactly his purpose. That was exactly his intention, to do that very thing. Go back to the verse 38 of the chapter, where he said to his disciples, let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. So when this man went out in enthusiasm, thinking maybe, sure there's no harm in telling why and how I have been healed, and who it is that has done it, he ends up hindering the Saviour in his work. Do you notice what it is the Saviour desires to concentrate upon? There in verse 38, it is the preaching. He desires to go into these neighbouring towns, and that underscores why the Saviour gave this command to this man, that he was to say nothing, because the preaching was more important. The preaching was more important. The emphasis was not to be placed upon the miracle and upon the physical healing. The emphasis is to be placed upon the preaching and the content of the Word of God that would direct sinners to seek him as their Saviour. Because if you go up the chapter there a little bit, verse 34, you'll see that the Lord has done this before. it says he healed many that were sick with divers diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. He refused the devils permission to say anything for the exact same reason. The emphasis is not to be so much upon the miracle as upon the preaching, and it's the preaching that is being hindered. When this man publicizes it and makes it known, and the Savior can now not enter into the city because the whole emphasis is going to be taken away from the preaching, and there's going to be more than ever wanting to be healed, and the preaching is not going to be given where it ought to. That's why the Lord told this man, you're to say nothing, that the preaching would not be. And does it not emphasize the importance of the Word of God going forth? We are never to let our enthusiasm become a hindrance to the work of God. Enthusiasm has to be regulated by the Scriptures as well. We must always obey what God commands us to do in His Word. There is always a good purpose for it. And when the Gospel is preached and the Word of God is preached and sinners are exhorted to be saved, it's to be obeyed. There's a purpose in all that the Lord commands. And while this man had a remarkable saving encounter with the Lord Jesus, there is a lesson even to learn here from the fact that he did not fully obey what the Lord commanded him. The content of the Word of God is more. And that content would have been that he was the Messiah and they were to believe on. You see, it is more than just the physical healing. Yes, the Lord has come to heal, and the Lord worked miracles, and it proved that he was indeed the Messiah and gave authority to the word that was preached. But the miracles were never to take over. The miracles were never to be the primary thing that people were to be focusing on. They were to confirm the word and give authority to the word, because it's man's spiritual need that is the great. And yes, there were those that had physical need. The Savior was willing to heal, as we have been noticing there by way of introduction. Yet, the point is worth noticing. The spiritual is more important. The preaching was more important. That's what the Savior was telling him. If he'd only understood it, don't be publicizing, because it's going to take the emphasis away from what it ought to be. It ought to be upon the preaching. That's what I have come to do. He says that there in verse 38. When he said to those disciples, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. The Lord says, I have come to preach. Yes, miracles were done to authenticate them, but the preaching was the primary thing, that they might know about the Messiah and the one who can meet them. And when we read about the miracles, such as this leper being cleansed, we must not let the physical healing take over, because what's more important, the spirit and the need for cleansing, to know the life-giving touch the Savior gives in a spiritual sense. That's what. And just as this man had this very needful encounter with the Savior, so the sinner needs a similar encounter. They need a saving touch from the Lord, or they'll die and perish. And may those who know not, they'll be praying for, may they come to realize that they need an encounter, a saving encounter, the touch of. May that be true for everyone. Also the case for those that we have prayed for today, that they might have a counter with Christ, we have read of. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake.